For those listening to KSBN Money Talk Radio who might be interested in buying physical precious metals for less than what I can pay for them, stay tuned. I have a way you can support this show and secure what I believe is the best price for precious metals on the existing market. In our first commercial break, I will explain this in more detail. And now, let's get on with Reclaiming the Republic. Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This is G.R. Mobley. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. If you go to ReclaimingTheRepublic.org, you can download our podcast and support documents and links. This is an educational, grassroots program designed to restore the Republic and placing the general government, or what many refer to as the federal government, back into the constitutional framework and scope of the Constitution. Our toll-free number to call in is 844-320-4299. And if you cannot listen to this entire show today, because you'll want to, because we have our guest back, Douglas Gibbs, and this show will be rebroadcasted this Saturday at 1 p.m. As I always say, these shows are integrated with each other. I reference them, and so for you to garner some of those sub-references or other citations that I don't go into full detail just because it's a matter of time, you do need to download the broadcasts and the podcasts, I mean, so that you can actually listen and garner what I am saying as far as all these different citations and so forth. That way it'll help you understand Republic Review and how we can reclaim the Republic together. I have a few local announcements. The Republican Coffee Club, that's meeting at 7 a.m. this Friday, June 16th, is Rosemarie. She's speaking on the dangers of fluoride in our water. On the 23rd, it's John Peterson, director of Spokane City Planning. So if you don't like the way things are planned out, maybe a good time to show up. And on the 30th, Matt Close, and I may be mispronouncing it, he's an agricultural forestry training future leaders in agriculture. At least that's what he's speaking on. And the admission, again, is $5 for the venue and $1 for a donut. So $6 to get your coffee, donuts, and thinks on at the Bangkok Thai restaurant inside the No Lie Brew House at 1003 Trent. And again, this is every Friday at 7 in the morning. And it's right there on the corner of Trent and Hamilton. Grassroots Northwest is having their movie night tonight, and their subject matter is trace amounts. This is not an anti-vaccine film, but a film to challenge the science the CDC refers as they push for a one-size-fits-all approach to childhood vaccinations and mandates for adults and children alike. If you can please reach out and support these good folk at the Northwest Grassroots, who are ardently working to provide relevant information and education. And one thing you do is go there tonight. If you're driving home now, change your direction. It's out at Darcy's, and it's the same place out in Spokane Valley. And by all means, please show up and support these folks. How can you support? Well, one of the things that they're doing is also doing the Spirit of America rally. And so here's some things that they need for this as well as an organization. They need some support that's coming up for this post-Falls rally on June 24th. That's on Saturday. So get the word out, and if you can tell all of your friends, email, and so forth. I'm going to be posting all of their information on my podcast page so that you can get to their Facebook links and their website and so forth. Please hit these people up if you have resources, and there'll be a list of things that you should be able to contribute if you have them, and or if you have the time getting involved. I mean, they're looking for fellow leaders, and they want to help support you become successful in your community as well. And so please, by all means, get out and help these folks. Last week and for the past few weeks, I have been emphasizing that this is a very important year, and it is an important election year that we're facing. I publicly asked all the candidates, regardless of their party affiliation, to call in and discuss why they're running and their focus and concerns. There are too many who are leading us down a path of enslavement. Slavery comes from getting you to surrender your liberties for their entitlements and handouts. They are out to make you dependent upon them for all things, or at least most things. So if you're running, please just send me an email. And if you're running on the progressive side, the Democratic side, then please tell me how you're not looking for building up an entitlement and, you know, creating this enslavement ideology that has brought down societies, you know, in every case from ancient Greece and even before that. As a matter of fact, Aristotle was asked by Alexander the Great, why is it that societies tend to fall for these dubious things? And Aristotle says, it is the innate nature of man to try to create a family culture and then try to control that family within society. Interesting that these problems and these thoughts existed even millennia ago. So if you are running for office and you want to have a good discussion on your platform and or your concerns and thoughts on the issues, by all means, give us a call. I would love to ask you on a constitutional perspective on some of these things. And as a matter of fact, that's a segue into this coming election has also got an initiative, and I believe that initiative is the Safer Spokane Initiative. And so this is my quick constitutional thought for you. If you understand what they're trying to do by charging, it's like a tax or a fee or a fine, it doesn't matter, for commerce moving through from one state through this city and throughout this state, the fact that Spokane is trying to put this levy or fee upon these goods coming through, that is a direct violation of the Constitution. How? It's a direct violation of the Commerce Clause. The Commerce Clause did not allow states to pit one against another for whatever purpose, that the states have to allow the commerce to flow. And this is where it will basically, if we move forward with this, then it's just going to cost Spokane an enormous amount of money in legal fees. So this initiative is a deceptive lie and will end up costing Spokane dearly. This is why there needs to be purging of progressives from the city council and from government. These draconian tactics is still a single example of how the progressives are destroying the city and the state. As I said earlier, and last week we talked to Mr. Gibbs on the show, I'm going to be bringing him back after this next segment. So once we go to break, when we come back, I'll be bringing him back on the air. But I wanted to give you a little bit more background. I've known Mr. Gibbs since 2013 when I published my first book, and we started engaging and, as a matter of fact, challenging each other and cutting our teeth, constitutional teeth on each other, just to see, you know, how much each of us knew. And every time it seemed like we could just go on for hours and hours and hours. And it took a while for Mr. because again, Doug is entrenched in lots of activities and community things down in Southern California. And so getting his focus to really, you know, contemplate Republic Review and what I had pinned in the solution for saving our Constitution and Republic, it took a while. But I will just say this, that last year as a keynote speaker for his organization, when I flew back down there for their annual dinner, it was just a real humbling introduction when, you know, Mr. Gibbs basically introduced me as the guy with the solution. And I'm very appreciative of, you know, his kind comments, his support, and everything that we've been able to do together. And what he's doing is pretty impressive, and we're going to get into a lot of that today. But there's a couple of things that we still needed to finish on, like on republicanism and so forth. But I will say this, that for the hours and hours that we've talked, I think each time we walk away from, you know, conversing with each other on the current constitutional challenges and so forth, we both walk away as – much richer in both information and ideas for solutions. Well, here it is. Here comes the break. So when we come back from the break, I'll have Mr. Gibbs on the phone with us, and I will go through a quick intro. So please stay tuned, and we will be right back after this. Okay, so we are back, and I do have Mr. Gibbs on the line. We've successfully made connection, and we have the ones and zeros transferring back and forth. Last week, I posted the Mr. Gibbs information on my podcast page like I always do with my guests, and I will leave that up there, and if there's any more relevant information, I will put that there as well. Again, as a quick intro, Douglas Gibbs is the Director of the Civics and Constitution Studies with CORE. He's also a fellow at the American Freedom Alliance and the President of the Constitution Association, a radio host for KMET and a few other different radio stations, working with other partners. And he's also an author of a few books, actually I think four. The one I've actually read and would highly recommend, and I'm sure they're all really good, because he's a thorough scholar in trying to research everything to the gnat's tail, I'll say. And so, anyway, Mr. Gibbs, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Well, so with that introduction, and I gave people actually a little more intro, or I should say, you know, a personal insight before the break, before we picked you up. But anyway, I know we've already kind of talked about Republic Review and my thoughts on the Judiciary Act and Republicanism, but I don't think we've really finished the talk, and I don't think it would take much. I'm just already trying to stir the pot with the Article 5 issue of states losing their sovereignty. So I'm actually going out to the Facebook pages of Florida, Georgia, Utah, and starting to drop these little notes and hints. Why do you guys elect your senators? And let them come back with the obvious, well, because it's the 17th Amendment. Anyway, any other thoughts on what we can do to, you know, help elevate this? And I, as we talked, and you agreed, and I'm not trying to dominate the conversation here, but if I remember correctly, we both kind of acquiesced or agreed to the fact that if they already opened the door of the barn to allow Maryland, who rejected the amendment in 1913, then, and in 2002 they ratified it, then any state that ratified it should be able to de-ratify it, correct?
Well, not only that, but any state that never ratified in the first place shouldn't have to follow it. As we've talked about,
correct,
in Article,
yes,
5, it says that a state can't lose its equal suffrage without its consent. Well, if the state didn't ratify it, or if they de-ratify,
right,
they haven't given consent, and
correct,
so therefore they shouldn't have to follow it.
Right. And so what do we need to do? Any ideas on, you know, trying to create a little brush fire, so to speak, on the politics on this?
Well, first of all, the key to anything is education. If the state legislators, if the people, if they're not informed about this, it goes, you know, back to the old saying, you know, how can you do anything about something that you don't know exists? If you know, you don't know what you don't know. And so education is a key, but also once they're educated, then they need to be encouraged, and when I say they, I mean our legislators, to move in the right direction on that. And that's where something like the Republic Review actually is a key component in moving the Republic back where it belongs. And I think it would go further also that, and you and I have talked about this, and actually this was something that you had brought up originally, but I definitely echo the sentiment that if the President Trump and the current Congress were to then address the states and say, you know what, not only have we failed because we're not acting as a republic on the 17th Amendment, but neither are you.
Right.
And you need to go back to being a republic by the assembly being voted in by the people and the state senators being appointed by the county leadership.
Right.
You know, that's something else I think would encourage us to resolve the 17th Amendment issue.
Right. Absolutely, because I believe once the counties, if the counties can get their voice back, I think it would be a rippling effect in a lot of the flyover states or the heartland of America, because mm-hmm. they recognize that all this, and I'll call it foreign money, because every single Senate race in the heartland, the majority of the money that goes in to elect the incumbents or the people that they want, those millions of dollars are coming in from out of state, from lobbyists and globalists and so forth. And so
right.
there's just no way in Nebraska that they're getting from a grassroots level those millions of dollars. In the average Senate race, the incumbent is, I think, earning over $10 million. And then in the big races like in California, I forget it. I think the last one was over $100 million for Feinstein or Boxer, whatever that was.
Yeah, sounds about right. Well, just a seat for my local congressman, Ken Calvert. Ken put, $40 million into his campaign.
Wow.
Here's the thing, too. You live in California. Since we've got California on the table, when I talk about repealing the 17th Amendment, the response I get from Californians is, yeah, but it wouldn't help California. We'd still send two blue senators. Not necessarily, because if this state was acting like a republic,
right,
and the state senators were appointed by the county leadership,
sure.
Well, most of the counties in the state are red.
Sure.
And if you've got a red state senate and a blue assembly instead of the supermajority of Democrat leadership in both houses, suddenly now a compromise has to be made between those two houses when it comes to appointing senators. So
right.
It would likely then be one red, one blue.
So it would no longer be the zealots like Feinstein and Boxer. It
right.
would be mm-hmm. A more moderate person that is going
right.
to...
Right, and then once they're in there, even if it's right. a blue person, even if it's a Democrat, they are held accountable to that state legislature.
Sure.
So they're not going to vote in ideology. They're going to vote for what's best for the state and what the state legislature does. And that goes back to something I said last week about the 17th Amendment introducing ideology into the Senate.
Right.
It wasn't about ideology before. It was about what was best for the state.
Correct. Correct. Yeah, and I did some research on that, and I found it interesting that they use the argument that this is how they could eliminate corruption, but this is how they actually were actually able to open the doors and the windows of the Senate for corruption to come in,
right?
Instead of
right.
in somebody's pocket or in some little envelope or what have you. I can't believe that they were duped. And as a matter of fact, there was just a few senators that were supporting this, that rallied for this. And I just can't believe that there's so many that were just duped on this. And I read a book. I forgot who the author was, but I believe who was the former education secretary under Reagan? Bennett? It was Bennett, right?
Yeah, you're talking about Bill Bennett.
Bill
yeah.
Bennett. I think he wrote a book about the 17th Amendment, that how it was questionably ratified and pointed out. And as a matter of fact, I know that it was either Thomas Woods or another one of his compadres that wrote a book about the same thing. Or in one of their books, they talked about the same thing.
But, and I actually talk about this in my classes often. And what had happened, it wasn't that enough states – not enough states ratified it, but that enough states did ratify it, but that some of the states, realizing it wasn't going to get ratified, bent the rules, played games to make sure they got enough votes in from their legislature or through convention.
Right. Oregon was one of those. I know Oregon was one.
Yes, yeah, exactly. And so they didn't play by the rules, so it was basically an unlawful ratification. So
right.
it doesn't count.
So if I remember what happened in Oregon's case, they refused to seat the new legislatures that were going to come in prior to mm-hmm. the ratification. They refused to seat them and swear them in. So the old ones who were voted out were able to come in and vote for the ratification, which is
right.
it's a complete violation because they were no longer elected officials. And they anyway.
Right.
So before I get into the discussion on CORE and your efforts and some of those interesting things that you've been doing, some news hit this past week that Jim DeMint, and I know you've had either a relationship with the Heritage Foundation or Jim DeMint, I forget which, but I know that he's got I don't want to say religion, but he's got desperate religion. And so he has basically thrown everything into this Convention of Saints. And so if you could give me some information on that when we come back from the break. I'm waiting with bated breath. So everybody, please hold on. We'll be right back after these few sponsors. Thank you. Okay, so we are back, and we have Douglas Gibbs on the phone, and I have very bated breath now since it's been 4 minutes. Tell me, what interaction or relationship have you had with either DeMint or the Heritage Foundation?
Well, I've been a sentinel for the Heritage Foundation for a few years now, and I work closely with a number of the persons from back east. They come out here and visit a couple times a year. We, I give them information. They give me information. We work together to help really reclaim California. And, you know, I know it sounds like an amazing a possibility, but I think it's possible, and I do work with a number of organizations to do that. As for my first experience with the organization, it actually – I've been a sentinel actually longer than before Mr. DeMint became the president, which he has since vacated that spot. And so when he joined, I had already met him and had him on my radio program once. I can't remember the name of the book now. It was about he had traveled America and had written a book about his journey across America and learning more about Americans and, you know, and talking to them. That's what the book was about. Falling in Love with America, again, I think was the name of the book. But anyway, and kind of stayed in touch with him. So when he became a became the chairman or president, I can't remember which term was used, of the Heritage Foundation, I did stay in touch and had him on the show a couple times. And he was doing the best he could, but unfortunately certain things arose and he had to leave the organization. But he, when we talked, the few times we talked, he did believe in convention. He did support convention. So when he decided to become the senior advisor of the Convention of States project, I was elated. And this is brand new news, by the way. He's not actually on the board or any officer, though. He's the senior advisor. And in fact, the treasurer of my Constitution Association out here is also an officer in one of the California regional districts, I think it is, of the Convention of States. I'm also friends with the head of the San Diego one. His name is Lou Oberman. Then the one in my area, his name is George Rombach. So we've got this great union of the Constitution Association with Convention of States. We actually have done a few projects together and a few events together. And they also, when I was at the California Republican Assembly Convention in Fresno a couple months ago, which I'm also a district officer in that, they had a table out there, and it was funny because a bunch of people that I know, you know, Convention of States.
Right.
So it's a great, great project, and I'm excited because the Article 5 Convention is a very important tool, but I remind people it's not the only tool. The Convention of States project, people, you know, will tell you, well, you know, all we need is Convention of States. Well, not necessarily. We've got the Convention of States, we've got Republic Review, we've got nullification, and a number of other tools the founders gave to us. And they're all important and should work together, not just Convention of States by itself.
Right. So you know my position. I just consider the Convention of States as a real waste of time because getting 38 states to agree on an amendment – and understanding, well, so the John Birch Society is really – I don't know if they're overly paranoid, but they are very assertive and saying that the progressives are waiting in the winds to basically sweep in and take over. And that, right. What that means is that they're already in control of all these conservative states that are calling for this convention. So some of the stuff that doesn't necessarily make logic to me.
Eagle Forum and John Birch Society both fear a runaway convention. But, I mean, we're one state short of having three-quarters of states having red-dominated legislatures.
Right.
First of all. Second of all, if a ridiculous proposal comes out of a convention, it still takes three-quarters of states to ratify. And if the three-quarters of states are going to ratify something like, let's say, getting rid of the Second Amendment, we got bigger problems than runaway conventions.
Right. And our biggest problem is the compliance of the Constitution right now, and they're spending us into oblivion.
Sure.
And that's why I say, let's not waste your time now. Let's worry about fixing some of these little things. And actually, I'm convinced that if we basically remove and disband all the unconstitutional government, it will create, because part of that's going to be the Department of Veterans Affairs. And
well, you know, you talk about the unconstitutionality going on out there, and
sure.
I'll just give you just an idea of how bad it is. 11 years ago, myself and a fellow constitutionalist by the name of Tim Curlin, he went by Loki online, we completely dismantled and went through the entire federal budget. And after we were all done with it, we had determined that 85% of federal spending is unconstitutional. Now, on top of that, and that in large part, that's the 16th Amendment and the way the budget is even paid for, because the states used to have some oversight. Now, looking at that, when you could tax without end, you can spend without end. That's what the 16th Amendment, the income tax, created. In the 1890s, federal spending was between 3 and 4% of GDP. Today, it is 36% of GDP.
Right. And some people say, well, let's just get it down to 20 or stay underneath 20. And I'm going, no, why don't you spend per the Constitution? Then we won't even have to worry about it. We can repeal the 16th Amendment.
Well, we restore the Constitution, all of our problems go away.
Absolutely.
And that even includes the social issues.
Absolutely. Because it forces the local communities to step in. And in my first book, We the People, Whose Constitution Is It Anyway, I out an organization called the Circle of Protection. So listeners, if you can remember anything, the Circle of Protection, go Google that, is a group of churches that put pressure on politicians to ramp up and put steroids on entitlement programs so that they don't have to administer to their parishioners. And to me, that is just an insidious evil that these churches are doing this. So go look up
right.
who these churches are. Go look up who's doing this. And then if you're a part of that congregation, maybe you ought to stop, you know, maybe you ought to look for a different church. That's all I'm saying. Anyway, I didn't want to get into and I don't have any barriers of religion and politics and government here. But I thought it was worth bringing up that I know that Jim DeMint is joining this. And so if there's an opportunity and if you have a way that I can, you know, get his ear, because I'd love to inject Republic Review, and there's no doubt in my mind that a lot of the people that are part of the COS effort would look at that and go, you know what, this could be our vehicle of doing what we need. I just believe that there are some people who are conservative entertainers or politicians who have the avarice or the intentions of trying to become, you know, a historic figure, you know, 200 years down the road, that their name is brought up as a reframer, because here's the great opportunity. And I'm going, well, I don't believe we have to do that. I think that the Constitution, the way it was written, and the powers that were remaining and left to the states have all the power to fix this, as you know. So anyway.
Well, real quick for your listeners, if you go to politicalpistachio.com right now, in my article where I promote today's radio program, you can see a picture of me with Jim DeMint. Second, I will see what I can do about contacting Jim DeMint right after I go to the post office.
Okay. Hey, give me and the listeners a little bit information on CORE, which is the Congress of Racial Equality, and what you're doing with them.
Well, the idea emerged a couple years ago, but I was approached a little over a year ago by the regional coordinator of the organization. And the idea is to take CORE and reconstitute it, because CORE has become, Congress of Racial Equality has become a shell of its former self. The organization has been around since 42. They were very involved in the civil rights movement, but they've become a shell of their former self. And this regional coordinator, his name is Paul Lopez, his idea was, let's rebuild CORE. Now that racial division over the last 8 years has been just, you know, out of control, let's reconstitute, let's get back in the game, the Congress of Racial Equality, which he's been a part of the organization for 3 or 4 years, and let's do it through education. Let's make it the conservative alternative to the NAACP. And when he was talking to the different powers that be at the time, they already have a constitution class they do at the Las Vegas office, but it's more towards passing the immigration test. And Paul says, well, why don't we go deeper? Why don't we teach the real deep tenets of the Constitution to blacks and Hispanics, because they've been lied to? Let's get them the truth, and let's do it in their neighborhoods at the chapter offices of the Congress of Racial Equality. Everybody was jazzed. It was such a great idea. So they came to me and asked me if I would head up that effort. Over the last year, we've been doing all the preparations and paperwork. Unfortunately, there's been a number of obstacles, and one of them being the Congress of Racial Equality itself. Unfortunately, the organization's management has not been what it should be. So what we're doing right now with CORE, and rather than try to open it through CORE, we have created, or we're creating a parallel organization. Hey, we're basically invited CORE.
Doug, I got to cut you off. We got 10 seconds to go to break, so we'll be right back.
And we will continue when we'll be back then.
You bet. Thank you very much. Stay tuned, folks. We'll be right back. Okay, we're back. We have Mr. Gibbs, and we've got one more segment, and we wanted to get through some of the things that he was doing with CORE. And as before the break interrupted you, you were saying?
Well, we are creating a parallel organization with CORE, and CORE is in our name, and that way we don't have to go through CORE's the old framework is not the way it should be. So we're literally having to recreate it from the bottom up. But that said, we have some great people on board. Dennis Jackson, who is the executive producer of Trevor Loudon's film, The Enemies Within. We have Harry Ramos, former Murrieta city council member and intelligence personnel from the United States Marine Corps. You should know more about that yourself. And we have, let's see, Bishop Ron Allen. He is the president of the faith-based, International Faith-Based Coalition. Has 19,000 churches a part of it. 6,000 of those pastors are interested in what we're doing and want to join in. So this is a big thing. I was in meetings yesterday and the day before down in San Diego, and one of the people I met with was a woman by the name of Jan Reese, and she is the founder and really runs the Salt and Light Council. And we're going to be teaming up and working together with this, along with a number of other organizations that have learned about what we're doing. I was even on the radio the night before last with Pastor Sanders in Cleveland, Ohio, in What's Left, What's Right radio broadcast. And he's wanting also to do what he can to be a part of getting the word out as we grow this. We plan to start opening chapters in a matter of a few months. We are planning on having a press conference once everything is set up and all of our ducks are in a row in August. So there's a lot of things moving, and it's an exciting time to be in California, because we're going to take the Constitution to the cities in California. Pretty excited about the opportunity.
So with all this that you're doing with CORE, do you have time to continue your fellowship with the American Freedom Alliance?
Absolutely. Okay. Matter of fact, we are planning next year a conference on the First Amendment. I'm going to host it. American Freedom Alliance has been an incredible organization. In fact, we just had our Heroes of Conscience dinner just recently in April, and I was gratified that I had a chance to spend some time with someone who I've met a few times, David Horowitz. He was there, and he received the Heroes of Conscience Award. Gert Wilders from Netherlands was our keynote speaker, and let me tell you, spending a little time with him, he's a pretty incredible individual, and he pulls no punches, says it like it is. I mean, he's a no BS kind of guy.
So real quick,
you know,
go ahead.
No, I was going to say American Freedom Alliance also is interested in what I'm doing with CORE and working on an alliance with the Constitution Association. So, because the Congress, the American Freedom Alliance really is based out of the L.A. area, and they're wanting to have an impact in the Inland Empire. I cracked up when I heard your ad earlier about your Inland Empire.
Yeah.
Our Inland Empire out here is Riverside, San Bernardino area. And they're wanting to have more impact in the Inland Empire, and that's my primary base of operations. So the relationship we are developing is incredible.
So when do you start delivering content?
The content for the chapter offices of CORE?
Yeah, so when you start teaching the Constitution.
Yeah, okay.
And, yeah, the content.
The curriculum is almost done. I should have it published within a matter of weeks.
Okay.
It's called A Promise of American Liberty, and it will be available on Amazon as well.
Okay.
And I will begin delivering content also through the a homeschool satellite program. The same curriculum is going to be used through a homeschool satellite program. So far, we've got 65 families on board that, and that starts in August.
So all of this is integral, folks, because we have to educate local leaders and the electorate one way or the other. And so getting people out and learning about the Constitution or listening to content like this and learning about good, positive things, I think it helps you sleep at night. At least it does with me. I know you've got your annual dinner coming up, and that's coming up July. And that's
July
going to
15th.
Be in Wildomar, of all places. And
right. So...
anybody that is looking for an opportunity to fly down and go to the annual dinner, it is what day? July 15th?
July 15th.
Okay.
July 15th. And for your Southern California listeners, I'm sure you've got them.
Go
to constitutionassociation.com, constitutionassociation.com, so you can find the tickets online. Right now they're $35. They go up to $40, I think, tomorrow. Get your tickets tonight, constitutionassociation.com. And we have Tim Donnelly, who ran for governor. We have Nigel Ennis. And then I was just on the phone today with Jesse Lee Peterson. He's going to come in, it looks like, and make an appearance and have a few words also.
Yeah, so I do post all of I have your political pistachio link. I have all those links on my website, on my podcast page. So
okay, great.
When people want to get today's podcast, they can just go down further. Just right underneath the podcast list is the pertinent information for this week's show and last week's, or you know, things, you know, if it loses its relevancy or what have you, or I don't say it's old news, but we take some of that stuff down. But some of that stuff is still up there, like the testimony by the MSNBC reporters who basically identified the connection between China and the Clinton administration and how they were funneling money for technology and secrets, national secrets, very, very sensitive secrets, because prior to Clinton being in office, China couldn't hit the broadside of a continent with a ballistic missile, and because he gave them the technology, now they, Iran, North Korea, and others are becoming more and more competent in hitting targets specifically. So thank you, President Clinton, or former President Clinton. One of the things I did want to comment is, again, I've read the 25 Myths of the U.S. Constitution by Mr. Gibbs, and it is a good read. It's it addresses things that you didn't know or you thought, oh, that is, you know, that's constitutional. And I would just challenge you to go pick that up. It's not a heavy, nor is it an expensive read. So go pick it up in an e-book or go buy the hard copy from Mr. Gibbs, or I think it's on Amazon, correct?
You can get on Amazon or CreateSpace, and it's $15. And I think Amazon right now has it for like $13.99 or something like that.
Well, great. I really appreciate your time coming on. Folks, next week I'm going to have Aaron Tilbury, I believe. I'm terrible with names, so please forgive me. But he's going to be coming on next week, and he is the leader for the Jonah Project. And the Jonah Project is basically rescuing kids who are trapped in the sex slave trafficking trade, where they literally traffic kids all along the West Coast from the Inland Empire here down to the Inland Empire down there, for big events and what have you. And these kids are trapped, and they need help. These are children. If you have kids and you're driving along and go, I've got a daughter, I've got a son, there are kids just like yours that are trapped in a sex trade trafficking. And so you definitely want to tune in next week, because this guy I consider a real hero. This is something above and beyond. You know, it's one thing to, you know, try to save and be compassionate, but to risk your life and to, you know, create an organization dedicated to the saving of these young innocent lives, it is really important. So I just want to make sure that you tune in next week for that particular show, because I promise you it will be good, and it will probably give you a hard time sleeping. It'll give you a lot of shock and awe, as far as you can't believe this is happening. I was just shocked that we supposedly have 1,500 kids trapped in the sex slave trade here in Spokane alone. And so it's much bigger, and it's a much bigger problem than you think. And so I ask you to tune back in next week. That's it for today. And we are reclaiming the Republic. So thank you very much. With your help, we will do this. Have a good one. Bye now.